In the world of advanced manufacturing, what if I told you that adoption of a key technology has doubled since 2016, with over 65% of companies now using it? This isn't a gradual shift. It's an acceleration that's redefining production efficiency. The question for executives is no longer if they should adopt it, but how quickly they can catch up to the leaders who are already reaping the benefits. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly strategic briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking three critical transformations. First, the rise of the AI-driven factory, where digital replicas are predicting the future of production in real time. Second, we're covering the unprecedented global arms race for biomanufacturing capacity, with multi-billion dollar deals reshaping the competitive landscape. And finally, we'll look at the revolutionary cell and gene therapies that are moving from the lab to the market, creating entirely new challenges and opportunities for the supply chain. Troy, let's start with the digital factory. We're seeing terms like AI and digital twin everywhere. What does this actually mean on the factory floor?
It means moving from reacting to problems to predicting them. A digital twin is a real-time virtual replica of a physical asset, like a bioreactor. As detailed in multiple reports this week from sources like MDPI and the EU Project Modica, these twins integrate live sensor data with mechanistic models and machine learning. They can simulate operational scenarios, forecast performance, and predict issues like nutrient depletion or metabolite accumulation before they compromise a multi-million-dollar batch.
That sounds powerful, but is it just theoretical? Are major companies actively building this capability?
Absolutely. Thermo Fisher Scientific posted a job this week specifically seeking a data scientist to lead digital twin model development for their CHO cell culture workflows. They're building hybrid models using AI and Bayesian optimization to enable real-time detection of process deviations. This isn't an academic exercise. It's a core part of their strategy to accelerate bioprocess optimization.
So for a U.S. or European manufacturer, what's the competitive threat here?
The threat is being outpaced on efficiency and quality. AI-driven optimization shortens development cycles and reduces manufacturing errors and waste. European manufacturers who fail to invest in the data science talent and sensor infrastructure to support this will find their cost of goods are uncompetitive within a few years.
And for trading companies and distributors, what's the angle?
This creates a massive new market for the enabling technologies. We're talking about advanced sensors, IoT hardware, and the specialized software platforms that run these digital twins. Sourcing and distributing these tools is a major growth opportunity, especially for firms that can offer integration and support services.
So, what is the single most important action an executive should consider right now?
Audit your data infrastructure. Before you can build a digital twin, you need clean, accessible, real-time data from your production lines. Start a pilot project on a single, critical process to build internal expertise and demonstrate the ROI.
Let's pivot from the virtual world to the physical. There's been a flurry of news about a massive capacity expansion in contract manufacturing. A new report projects the biologic CDMO market will hit $38.29 billion by 2031. Who is making the biggest moves in this space?
The undisputed headline this week is Samsung Biologics. As reported on August 20th, they've acquired a 60,000-liter GSK facility in Maryland, boosting their total global capacity to a staggering 845,000 liters. And they're not just expanding scale, they're diversifying. They also announced an agreement to acquire Polypeptide Group for roughly $1.8 billion to enter the peptide therapeutics market.
So a South Korean giant is buying significant manufacturing capacity inside the U.S. Are European and other Asian players responding?
They are. In Japan, AGC Biologics has already secured a multi-million-dollar manufacturing contract for its new Yokohama facility, reserving about half its mammalian capacity before the site even opens in 2027. And in Europe, Lonza is continuing its CHF $500 million investment in a new large-scale commercial fill-finish facility in Switzerland. It's a global race to build and secure capacity.
What does this capacity arms race mean for U.S. and European drug makers who rely on these CDMOs?
It's a major strategic risk.
The early deal by AGC shows that high-quality manufacturing slots are being booked years in advance. U.S. and European companies with products in their late-stage pipeline cannot wait for regulatory approval to secure their manufacturing partner. They need to be signing these long-term agreements now, or they risk having an approved drug with no way to produce it at scale.
And what should trading companies and distributors be watching?
These new facilities represent billions in equipment sales. There will be immense demand for single-use systems, chromatography resins, and high-purity chemicals. The Asia-Pacific region is the fastest-growing CDMO market. Distributors need to be focused on building relationships with the procurement teams at Samsung in South Korea, AGC in Japan, and other expanding players in that region.
What's the actionable insight for executives from all this?
Re-evaluate your 5-year supply chain strategy immediately. Are you too dependent on a single CDMO or a single region? This is the time to diversify your manufacturing partners and perhaps lock in a long-term strategic partnership with one of these expanding giants to guarantee your future supply.
Okay, let's zoom in from the facility level to the technology inside. We're hearing a lot about a shift to continuous biomanufacturing. Is this really happening now?
It is, and an August 2026 survey from BioPlan Associates provides the proof. It found that the use of single-use perfusion equipment has doubled since 2016, with 65.8% of facilities now using it at some stage of production. This is the tipping point for mainstream adoption.
Perfusion technology. Break that down for us in business terms.
It's a fundamental shift from baking in batches to a continuous production line. Perfusion systems continuously feed fresh nutrients to cells while removing waste. This allows for much higher cell densities and dramatically boosts bioreactor productivity. You can get the same or greater output from a much smaller and less expensive facility.
If it's so much more efficient, who controls the technology? Is this an open field?
Not at all. A PatSnap patent analysis from this month reveals that the top 5 assignees hold 79.2% of all patents related to perfusion and intensified cell culture. The IP is highly concentrated in hardware, media chemistry, and control logic. We see industry leaders like Pfizer, Boehringer Ingelheim, and WuXi Biologics actively implementing perfusion strategies based on this core IP.
So how does this affect a mid-sized US or European manufacturer who wants to stay competitive?
They face a build, buy, or license decision. Adopting perfusion requires new process control expertise and highly specialized cell culture media. To compete on cost of goods, U.S. and European firms must either license this technology or invest heavily in developing their own. This is also where chemically defined media, or CDM, becomes absolutely essential for consistency in a continuous process.
And for distributors and suppliers?
The demand profile is changing rapidly. The market for traditional batch processing equipment is flattening, while the need for single-use perfusion systems, advanced sensors, and specialized media is exploding. Lonza just launched its rapid media prototyping service, delivering custom media in 10 working days, specifically to meet this need for faster process development. Distributors must update their catalogs to service this new paradigm.
What's the actionable takeaway for a company looking to make this shift?
Start with a hybrid strategy. Implementing N1 perfusion for seed train intensification is a lower risk entry point. It can significantly boost the productivity of your existing fed batch bioreactors and allows your team to build the expertise needed for a fully continuous process down the line.
For our final segment, let's look at the absolute cutting edge, cell and gene therapies. We've seen a number of major regulatory approvals just this month. What's the headline story?
The most significant development comes from Japan. In early 2026, it became the first country in the world to grant conditional approval to iPSC-based regenerative therapies. The two products are AMCHEPRI for Parkinson's disease and ReHeart for severe heart failure.
The world's first. What does conditional approval actually mean for the market?
It allows for commercial sales for up to 7 years while the companies gather more efficacy data. It's an accelerated pathway to get breakthrough therapies for severe diseases to patients sooner. This move solidifies Japan's global leadership in the field of regenerative medicine.
Is the U.S. keeping pace with these kinds of approvals?
The FDA is also moving quickly. This month, Ultragenetics received accelerated approval for GenGlycos, a gene therapy for a rare disease. And ZellSmart's Parkinson's therapy, XS411, was granted FDA Fast Track designation. The momentum is global, and one market report projects the off-the-shelf allogeneic cell therapy market will reach $1.97 billion this year, in 2026.
These are incredible medical advances. But for our audience, what are the unique challenges for manufacturing and distribution in the US and Europe?
For manufacturers, the primary challenges are consistency and cost. You are manufacturing a living drug. This makes automation and the use of GMP-grade chemically defined media non-negotiable to control variability. A key competitive advantage is controlling your own manufacturing, which is why we see companies like Capricor Therapeutics bringing their own GMP facility in San Diego online to support their product launch.
And for trading and logistics companies?
This creates a completely new, high-stakes supply chain. These are living therapies that often require validated end-to-end cryogenic logistics, what the industry calls a vein-to-vein cold chain. Distributors who haven't invested in cryogenic transport and storage capabilities will be shut out of this market. There's also a growing demand for the specialized GMP-grade raw materials, like cytokines, used to produce the cells.
So, the actionable insight for companies entering this space?
Map your entire supply chain, from raw material sourcing to final delivery, immediately. For therapy developers, that means qualifying and securing your suppliers of GMP-grade materials. For logistics and distribution partners, it means investing and validating your cryogenic transport capabilities now, before the market becomes even more crowded.
That brings us to our strategic summary. Troy, what are the three key takeaways for executives this week?
First, the digital twin is officially a competitive weapon. Major players like Thermo Fisher are hiring dedicated data scientists to build them. If you haven't started a pilot program to apply AI and predictive modeling to your manufacturing process, you are falling behind on efficiency and quality. Second, the global CDMO landscape is consolidating, and capacity is being locked up years in advance. Samsung Biologics' expansion to 845,000 liters and AGC Biologics' pre-opening contracts are the proof. U.S. and European companies must act now to secure long-term manufacturing partnerships for their pipelines.
And third, the shift to continuous manufacturing driven by perfusion technology has reached a tipping point. With adoption doubling and the core IP concentrated among a few players, developing an in-house capability or securing a technology license is now a strategic imperative to control future manufacturing costs.
That's all the time we have for this week's Troy Technical Intelligence. We covered the rise of the AI-driven factory, the global capacity arms race, and the commercial breakthrough of cell therapies.
Join us next week as we continue to translate complex technology into actionable business strategy.
Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a briefing. Thanks for listening.